Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we aren't just electing a governor in New Jersey and a mayor in New York this year. New York City Council is up too, and since it's the first city election since the 2010 census, the 51 city council districts have to be redrawn. Populations have shifted, new immigrant groups are on the rise, and that redistricting process is a big part of determining whose concerns get attention. Remember, we talked just the other day about Ed Koch's final political battle. It was for nonpartisan redistricting in New York State, a battle that he lost, and why it's important. And the Redistricting Commission for the city is on its third go-round of public meetings wrapping up this week. So joining me to talk about the city's changing demographics and how those changes might affect November's elections are three guests: Andrew Beveridge, professor of sociology at Queens College and the CUNY Graduate Center and the man behind the demographic tracking website Social Explorer, and Jerry Vadamala, a staff attorney at the Asian American Legal Defense and Education Fund, and Esmeralda Simmons, the founder and executive director of the Center for Law and Social Justice at Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn. Welcome back, all of you, to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you, Brian.
And thanks. Andrew Beveridge, as the demographer here, what are the big population shifts over the last 10 years that we might see reflected in new district lines?
Well, I think the two big ones are a very large increase of the Latino population, particularly in Queens, and then a very, very large increase also, but the base is smaller, of the Asian population. I mean, you already know that Grace Meng is in Congress now, and that was largely due to the increasing it's actually due to two things. It's due to the nonpartisan redistricting that happened for the Congress, and it's due to the fact that there was a big, large increase in the Asian population in Queens. And so, you know, I think that those two things are really, really important. But I would like to make a point before you get to Esmeralda and Jerry, who mm-hmm. I know actually both pretty well, mm-hmm. is that if they let the actual demography drive the redistricting, you probably, you know, you would still have a Democratic city council, but they would be full of different Democrats. And I think that the real struggle there, and they've been fairly upfront about it, is to protect incumbents or, in some instances, expected successors to incumbents.
And so, Jerry and Esmeralda, your organizations are both part of the coalition behind the so-called Unity Maps, the effort aimed at making sure minority groups get grouped so as to maximize voting power. Esmeralda, how would you pick up on what Andrew said, and then therefore why it matters? If it's all going to be Democrats, almost all, in the 51-member city council anyway, what's at stake?
Well, the first thing, I'd just like to clear up that what we have been trying to do with the Unity Maps is to make sure that people who are protected by the Voting Rights Act can elect the candidates of their choice. And what we have been actually doing is not looking so much at incumbency. Some of our groups have and some of us haven't. But my Center for Law and Social Justice, we've been looking at where the population shifts have occurred, and this is the most significant thing and why our Unity Map is so superior to what has come out so far from the Districting Commission. What can be done in New York to create fair districts for all populations, not just for the voting rights population, but for all New Yorkers? And that is a tease. That is a real tough nut to crack, because the redistricting is usually about gerrymandering, not about fairness.
Right. And when we talked, Jerry, about Ed Koch losing that battle for nonpartisan independent districting at the state level, one of the issues was incumbency. And with Governor Cuomo in the legislature being willing to take incumbency into account, that is protecting the individuals who are in office now and helping them to maintain their seats. Where does that come in to the city discussion?
Well, you know, we argue that it's not that relevant at all. Redistricting is done to accommodate population shifts. It's done for the people, not for the incumbents. So obviously incumbents have their own ideas on what they'd like to see drawn, and usually that means nothing changes. They don't want any change because they were able to get elected in their districts. So there's a battle between communities and groups of people and incumbents.
So maybe it's a little less of an issue at the city level because there are term limits of 2 terms.
That's right.
I beg to differ.
Go ahead.
It's almost as if term limits don't exist because you have people who are term limited, incumbents who are term limited, many of whom I work with and have fought with and fought against, acting as if they're still going to be representing the districts which they have now been term limited out of.
Uh-huh.
So
well, they also
strong
want to
advocacy.
Take their successor. Oftentimes, if you look carefully at what happened and when the first time term limits really kicked in, which was in 2001, a tremendous number of seats went to either staffers or family members.
Mm-hmm.
So, this notion that, it does have some circulation with term limits, but the notion that, I think Esmeralda is absolutely dead on. Whether, it's going to be it may be a different person, but they're going to represent very much the same interests.
So and the same power structure.
So let me raise a couple of districts that may turn out to be sticking points. Russian, South Asian, Chinese American, Korean groups, all hoping to gain representation as their numbers have increased in the city and not always showing up in some of the Brooklyn and Queens districts, from what I understand. So, Jerry, you represent South Asian communities. What's the issue with where the line will be drawn between Councilman Halloran's 19th district in northeastern Queens, that's like Flushing, Little Neck, Bayside, around there, and the 23rd, for example?
Sure, and I do want to just correct, the phraseology of it's not Halloran's district. It's the 19th district that he represents. And I should mention, I would take everyone back to 2009. There was intimidation of Asian American voters. Asian American volunteers were assaulted. Lawn signs were set afire. And we're not talking about the Deep South here. We're talking about Bayside, Queens. Dan Halloran won the election by a few hundred votes. What he's trying to do now, and with the effort of certain people on the commission, is to push the Asian American community in Bayside into District 23, ensuring re-election. We sent a letter to the Department of Justice in 2009 detailing the events of what happened. And to say that what happened in 2009 has nothing to do with what's going on right now, I strongly disagree with that. It's a continuation of what happened in 2009, and that's disenfranchisement of the Asian American community in Bayside.
And the Politicker website also pointed to another Queens district. This is over the lines for the 28th. It's been traditionally African-American majority, but says South Asians are hoping for more representation there.
Absolutely. It's a strong South Asian Indo-Caribbean community in Richmond Hills, South Ozone Park. The dividing line for the old lines between District 28 and District 32 was Lefferts Boulevard. That's the heart of the community. And what those lines did, it divided the community in half. So that community was denied effective representation. What we try to do, through the Unity Map and our efforts in general, we're trying to keep communities together. And if you go to these redistricting hearings, that's what you hear over and over and over again. We want our communities to be kept whole. Don't split us up into 2, 3, 4, 5 different districts. We try to do that in District 28. That's not the configuration the Unity Map called for. It's an alternative configuration that the commission came up with. But it does do a better job of keeping the South Asian Indo-Caribbean community whole.
So, Andrew Beveridge, this means, I guess, that as the city becomes more diverse, this isn't just a conflict between the old Voting Rights Act protected group, primarily African Americans and some Latinos, and whites anymore. But, different various groups of all kinds of people representing all kinds of ethnicities now coming into conflict with each other?
Well, that's true. But I think there's also a point that has to be made. If you look at the Supreme Court rulings in this area, because you mentioned Mayor Koch's attempt to get nonpartisan redistricting statewide. And in California, they got nonpartisan redistricting statewide through a referendum. And it had a radical effect. California now has a supermajority in both houses of the legislature, and they got many, a bunch more congressional seats became Democratic, but they were different Democrats, and actually the Democratic power structure is very unhappy initially. And so I think that, what the problem you've got here is that the Supreme Court has effectively ruled that partisanship is fine for redistricting, and you only have, as you made the point, the VRA classifications are very broad. So you have, like, Asians, Latinos and blacks, the issue, say, South Asians versus East Asians, or Caribbean-born blacks versus maybe native-born blacks. Those things do not rise to an issue in the Voting Rights Act, and it's so it does become really kind of fighting it out on the ground. And if you look at the composition of the commission and actually the blunt statements of the guy running it, they expect to do incumbency protection.
And it's been very disappointing that the Districting Commission, which is set up to be independent, even though the members are appointed by the city council and the mayor. And you probably recall, Brian, that I actually sat on a districting commission in its first iteration in 1991, that this commission, as opposed to the former commissions, have actually acted as if they were merely agents of the city council and the mayor. There's been no attempt to portray themselves as independent, as looking at things for communities and voters.
And just to touch on another couple of districts with interesting debates taking place right now, Esmeralda in Brooklyn, a line could determine whether Russian Americans get, quote, their own district, but it might come into representation, cut into representation of Orthodox Jews. Familiar with that?
Yes, I'm familiar with that. And I'm also that Russian versus Orthodox Jews in Brooklyn issue is showing up in more than one place. And that also cuts into the Canarsie area in the 46, which we say if the Canarsie area was beefed up, it might solve the problem for the Russian Jews as well in the Sheepshead Bay area, because they're being pushed between two districts instead of the Canarsie in the 46 moving further over. I can name the communities and encompassing all of Bath Beach and all of those areas there, and then leaving Sheepshead Bay as a whole.
And let me take one call from someone in the South Bronx who wants to put another district controversy on the map, and that is Harry in the South Bronx. Harry, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, thanks a lot. The last caller put her finger right on it about this being the work of the council, especially Speaker Quinn, and we saw how she changed Vito Lopez District. In the South Bronx and District 8, they're trying to rip it apart, cut into the historic political power of East Harlem, dilute the political power of the South Bronx, and take away Randall's Island from our district and give it to Queens, where there'd be less local opposition to the privatization schemes of Bloomberg. So we've been calling on Speaker Quinn to interact like she did with the Vito Lopez scandal and use her power to not rip apart District 8.
That's been a hot issue. If you had been at the Harlem hearings for the first round, I think the commission was traumatized by the number of, and I was delighted. I was there cheering as well, by the number of people that came out from El Barrio, that came out from the South Bronx to say that District 8 is not as originally portrayed, and even now it's portrayed in the December 4th maps, not what it needs to be. The Randall's Island, putting Randall's Island with Queens, it makes no sense whatsoever. The bridge goes from El Barrio to Randall's Island. The only thing connecting Randall's Island with Queens is the Triborough Bridge.
Randall's
so
Island
are you going to jump off the Triborough Bridge?
It's so interesting, Randall's Island. It's right below the Triborough Bridge. You can get there by car from Queens or the Bronx or Manhattan or by bicycle from any of the three, and unique in that way. And another one that we're not really going to have time to get into is Bensonhurst, where I understand the Italian-American population is being replaced by Chinese-Americans, but that's not its own district, so it could be a Chinese.
Well, not even close. It's divided into four city council districts.
Yes,
so we've been fighting with the commission and asking them, please keep our community whole, or at least don't divide it into four different city council districts.
Mm-hmm.
And you know
the Chinese community.
That's right. And you know the result of being divided into four city council districts, it's not, hey, great, we have four different city council members representing us. It's, hey, we have nobody representing us, and that's going to translate into zero or very few resources being diverted to Bensonhurst.
It's nobody representing you if there isn't enough of a minority to be needed to
form
a coalition to elect somebody.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. And also, I think one of the problems with this thing is that something like that, the commission's been pretty careful to just be shy of. I mean, they've been very careful trying not to, in effect, violate the Voting Rights Act. I mean, you know, I don't know if they've completely been successful, but I think they are mindful of it enough.
Does that protect Chinese immigrants?
No, it won't. That's the point. They're being very careful.
Well, I would disagree with that. I mean, Asian Americans are a protected class.
Yeah, but I think the way they've been drawing district areas, it's going to be really hard to sue them. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Listen, when we drew the unity map for our configuration for Bensonhurst, had an Asian population of about 33-35%, and that's been labeled the Asian district.
Right.
That's really a little bit of a stretch there to call that an Asian district.
Jerry, I'll give you the last word. Just remind everybody what you think is at stake here if this gerrymandering and redistricting conversation gets a little wonky for people. Funding, familiarity with issues, what's really at stake?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the discretionary funds that city council members have is a huge resource for community-based organizations, many of whom we work with in the community. If you do not have a representative that's responsive to your needs, you're not going to get any resources. And if your community is divided in such a way that you cannot impact the outcome of the election, why would the elected representative pay attention to your group, to the community? And the answer is they won't, and they don't. And the proof of that is look at Richmond Hill, South Ozone Park.
Yeah.
It's divided at all levels, receives no resources due to that fact. And I could go across the board, Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, Elmhurst, Queens at the assembly level. And now we see, you know, Bayside, the latest draft was the community Bayside was divided in half.
The Justice Department of the United States just is going to have the final word on all of this. So let's be mindful of that.
And the local debate over the maps going on right now. And now, folks, you know more about it. Thanks to Jerry Vadamalis, staff attorney at the Asian American Legal Defense and Education Fund, Esmeralda Simmons, executive director of the Center for Law and Social Justice at Medgar Evers College, and Andrew Beveridge, professor of sociology at Queens College and the CUNY Graduate Center, and the man behind the demographic tracking website, Social Explorer. Thank you all very, very much.
Thank you
so much, Brian.
Thanks a lot, Brian.